congregation belonging to Christ, as another summer season swiftly draws to its close, can you tell of something this summer that gave you reason to pause and to stand in awe? Like maybe looking at the starry sky on a clear night. Or perhaps you saw a grizzly bear. Or that moose cross the road or wait patiently along Deerfoot Highway till the cars would clear so it could cross. Just this past week, some of our family in BC went to the coast with the Pacific Ocean before them, and surprise, surprise, they looked with awe as suddenly they saw two killer whales playfully swimming and jumping in the water not that far from the shore. Their text message with the picture sent was about that, and it stated, quote, "Absolutely incredible start to the day." Well, congregation, today, as we gather here for Christian worship, and we may have the gospel preached to us and also pictured and pledged to us in the sacrament, for all who are confessing Christians, can I say respectfully, the Lord is out to give us an absolutely incredible start to our week. We are privileged, yes, to have a few moments of awe before Him, before the one true God and His gospel word. And surely our text should have us pause and stand in awe before God, our Savior. What do I mean? Well, in answer to that question, I remind you that last Sunday, we began a little series of sermons on our thoughts and God and our thoughts. The first sermon was on the truth that God knows all our thoughts afar off, as stated in Psalm 139, the second verse. Our second sermon, also a preparatory sermon, remember, was on 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul urges all God's people to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How did that go, by the way, for you and me this past week? Coming to the table rightly is confessing Jesus as your all in all, as only Savior of sinners for us, and as Lord of our lives. Has that same come out in your thoughts and words and deeds this past week? Is it what you pray and care about and strive after by God's word and spirit time and time again? That your and my whole life be devoted to God in spirit and in truth, in every way, always. You know, the Lord's Supper, it's for confessing believers who are living in daily repentance of sin and in ongoing faith in Jesus and wholly devoted to Him. Is that you and me today? Dear congregation, with word and sacrament, the Lord now will show us something to fill us with so much awe. Just listen with me in this regard to our text of Psalm 139, 17 and 18. Hear David testify after reflecting and glorying on God's omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence. The Holy Spirit-inspired psalmist writes, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." From these two verses, let's consider our sermon theme, reflecting on God's thoughts towards His people. Thoughts so abundant, so wonderful, so everlasting. I pray reflecting on this theme will cause us now to stand in awe of God and to worship Him with mind and heart and lip sincere. For think with me indeed on God's thoughts towards His people being, for one, so abundant. In fact, what does the verse actually say? It relates to us that God's thoughts to and for His people cannot actually be calculated. His thoughts towards his own are numberless and beyond counting. Children in church, I don't know how far you can count up to, but you can never outcount God's thoughts. How great is the sum of them, the text says. And it makes the comparison, doesn't it, of God's thoughts to the sand. You know, all the grains of sand by every ocean and lake and riverbed on this earth cannot equal in number to all God's thoughts towards his people. You and I can't even count the grains of sand in our sandbox, sandpail, or beach sandpail. But God's thoughts outnumber them. And this, you may say, well, isn't this an exaggeration, Pastor? Is this not just maybe a poetic saying to teach us something of God's having so many thoughts of love and care for his needy and sinful, struggling people who trust in him? Well, it could be that, just a poetic expression. But in this case, congregation, it's more than that. It's not even an exaggeration in any respect. No. For we know, don't we, the Bible says and teaches us that God's thoughts for his people stretch from eternity to eternity. Well, how many thoughts can fit in such a limitless time span of eternity? As Reformer John Calvin states in his comments on our text, what is being taught us here, is that concerning God's thoughts towards us, our capacities just cannot comprehend the most infinitesimal part of them. God's thoughts towards us are so abundant. When David says also about God's numberless thoughts, when I awake, I'm still with you, he means with that, actually, every day again, this was what he was learning and realizing and experiencing. God's thoughts towards us are never ceasing and new every morning and every day afresh. Again, as John Calvin put it in this regard, every time David awoke, he discovered fresh matter for admiration. Every day he awoke, he discovered fresh matter for admiration. In the context of the whole Psalm 139, doesn't David mean this altogether in view of God as creator and God as the one who provides for us, and then especially as the God of salvation for his people? And we know too, don't we, the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God is ever and always in all three persons and in all their works. He's ever thinking of all his people and their complete salvation in and through Jesus Christ and Spirit-worked faith in him. And therefore, just adding it all up, it amounts to more thoughts towards us, yes, than the sand in the universe. This all sounds too grand, too glorious, too gracious, too good to be true. But what is the proof of our text beyond all question? Well, dear congregation, children and young people too, it's the person and work of Jesus Christ. As crucified and risen Redeemer for sinners like us. In this way, too, the Lord's Supper sacrament, it literally this morning gives us, as many as repent and believe, it gives us the divine sign and seal and God's, you could say, God's special picture and pledge of the truthfulness of our text, Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18, telling us of God's thoughts towards us so abundant. But can those thoughts of God towards sinners like us be good? All good? How can that be when we of ourselves are as sinners by nature and even as believers still so prone to wander and fall, to sin again and again in our thoughts, words, and deeds? How can the holy God have all good thoughts for us and not thoughts against us? Well, the answer to that question is again in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the crucified and risen Redeemer. In and through him, the divinely given mediator, God's only begotten Son, become flesh, congregation. God's thoughts towards us are thoughts of forgiveness and thoughts of peace and love and not of condemnation and judgment. Here we come also to our second point under our theme, reflecting on God's thoughts towards his people. Thoughts so abundant, yes, and so wonderful. And this point comes out too, straight from the text. It's not just my idea. It's in the text. But what does David say at the beginning of verse 17? Does he cry out, "How terrifying and dreadful are your thoughts to me, O God?" No, he says, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God." The word precious here means honorable and valuable and dear and costly. Yes, altogether wonderful, you could say, are God's thoughts towards his people. God's thoughts of salvation and redemption for his people are the fruit of perfect divine wisdom and love and undeserved mercy, as Paul sings about in doxology in the end of Romans 11. His love for his people, it's a fruit of perfect wisdom and perfect mercy and justice and compassion and care beyond measure. David sees God's thoughts towards him and God's people as precious because they demonstrate and tell of the loving and giving heart of God for his own namesake, for us, in all our needs, for soul and body, before God and our neighbor. And again, the culmination and climax of God's thoughts, so wonderful, is revealed to us not just in the word written, but especially in the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the Savior. I mean, can you think, congregation, of what infinite thoughtfulness God showed towards sinners like us in sending his only begotten Son, become man, sinners like us to save? Just think of Jesus' holy conception in the womb of sinful Virgin Mary. Here again, as I said last time, Psalm 139 telling us of how wonderfully made is every human being ever conceived and born, being given and formed and shaped and prepared by God. How this is a glorious truth for every single human child conceived in the womb. Nevertheless, though, this scripture testifies especially of Christ. All scripture testifies of him. And the part in the Psalm 139 speaking of the baby so wonderfully shaped and formed, it ultimately speaks of the wonderful good news of the gospel about Jesus come as a human baby. What thoughtfulness in his conception, his miraculous conception and birth. Jesus, the Savior of sinners, come in the fullness of time, miraculously conceived in the womb of Virgin Mary, come so close to sinners like us and yet not himself a sinner at all. So born like us in all things, sin accepted, and most able and equipped and willing to seek and to save sinners. I mean, God's infinite mindful thoughtfulness in this gift of gifts cannot be expressed. Jesus came, didn't he, to cover for all our sins from conception to our last breath. From womb to tomb, we sometimes say, for whoever repents and believes on him, even for as many as come to the Savior, so that we might receive fullness of salvation from all sin and victory over against Satan, death, and hell. This is the wonderful gospel message for all who call on Jesus to be their Savior and Lord, even for as many as are ordained to eternal life by God triune. Well, now again, do you want ultimate proof that God's thoughts, congregation, towards his people are so precious, so wonderful, beyond telling? Well, consider the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. How in and through him, guilty, vile sinners like us may yet be washed whiter than snow and be completely forgiven and redeemed and reconciled to God and restored in his favor and adopted even as his dear children. Such is the gospel message. And today, again, with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are given God's visible holy sign and seal of this message for all who trust in him. What reasons then to stand in awe before him, considering, yes, his thoughts so abundant and wonderful towards his people? Are you today looking to this Jesus and entrusting yourself to him? No matter how great our sins and miseries in ourselves, God has made a way through Jesus Christ and his shed blood, sinners to save and to redeem and to receive even the vilest of the vile and the most wretched and undeserving of sinners to be saved and renewed by grace through faith in Christ alone. Maybe you hesitate, knowing yourself and wondering, how can I attend? Still so inclined to sin, even against my will. But then listen to these encouraging words of Psalm 40, which we also sang about. That's penned by David again. And he was someone who knew about his sins and sinfulness too, left to himself. We read in Psalm 40, verse 16 and 17, "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.' But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God." Is this your my testimony this morning? Will you not come then in remembrance and reliance upon this blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, in celebration, yes, of his thoughts, so abundant and precious for all who look to him and depend on him? Oh, to live apart from this Savior, whatever else be true of you, the reality is then you remain unsaved and you continue in your sins, and then you cannot glory in God's thoughts of salvation and peace for you, so abundant and so wonderful for his people. No, outside of Christ and not being found in him by faith, the righteous holy God continues only in just wrath against us. Then his thoughts towards us can and will and must only be thoughts of just judgment and righteous condemnation and eternal woe. For anyone to remain unbelieving and unconverted to God as revealed in the Savior, Jesus Christ, that means you care less for the triune God and his boundless thoughtfulness towards us, even through the one and only Savior of sinners he has sent. What monstrous evil is that? How very, very sad when so many people, they pause and they live in awe for only so much temporary and fleeting and earthly and even sinful things in this life. And they despise and reject the one true God and the most precious Savior of sinners he has sent in his infinite thoughtfulness and love. Imagine glorying in that grizzly bear or the killer whales or that moose or the starry sky, but rejecting the God who gave it all. God forbid any one of us, also as his covenant people now, should remain unbelieving and unconverted and so perish in our sins and forever be only recipients of divine wrath instead of recipients of divine loving thoughtfulness so abundant and wonderful. May all of us hear and heed the gospel call then to come unto Jesus once and time again. For just consider God's thoughts towards us in through Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Thoughts so abundant, so wonderful, and lastly yet, so everlasting. Oh yes, isn't this good news to think about the gospel tidings? Namely that Jesus, as Savior of sinners, he will never fail his people. And he will always, even to eternity, be faithful to his own. We have in and through Christ and faith in him, we have God's everlasting love and peace and comfort and forgiveness and righteousness and favor and goodwill towards us. We can live and die in eternal hope and rest in and through him. And that for body and soul, for now. And just think, in all this life here and now, and then in the everlasting world to come, we may learn more and more of God's infinite thoughts towards us as revealed in all his works, and especially in his word, and then particularly in the Lamb, Christ that was slain to save us from our sins. You know, before we realize it, you and I too will be at the shore of the eternal world to come. To know then that even death and the grave can't prevent nor end God's boundless everlasting thoughts of mercy and peace towards his people. What a comfort. And just think of it. Then also in the world to come, the new heavens and earth, for all the redeemed to be there by God's grace one day in and through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns eternal as victorious Savior of sinners. Just imagine to be there in infinite glory, forever loved by God triune, and unceasingly and increasingly shown his thoughts towards us from eternity past to eternity future. Oh, that will be joy unspeakable. And this too, the Lord's Supper, congregation, is especially given for us by God in his tender thoughtfulness towards all who look to him. Yes, all to underscore, you see, for us just poor and needy sinners, always here still on this side of heaven, to underscore God's full and free salvation from beginning to end. The Lord's Supper is given, isn't it, for God's believing and repentant people to know and believe with assurance as a further guarantee and pledge from the Lord that trusting and following him, we will never be put to shame. Rather, in and with Christ Jesus, in reliance on him, we only find more and more reasons to rejoice in the Lord and to praise and exalt him as most awesome indeed. God, through his word and sacrament, this day, congregation, is out to give us such an absolutely incredible start to our new week, and as we are about to begin a new fall season before us. You know, as we are all made to realize presently, yes, we live in the wilderness, don't we? The wilderness of sin still. In our earthly pilgrimage to the eternal city to come. Now we experience yet many struggles and troubles, also with our sinful selves and this sinful world. Yesterday at the funeral of Hank, we were reminded we live in a vale of tears. But you know, I was thinking, God's thoughts outnumber all the tears of his people, as well as all the sins of his people. His thoughts towards us outnumber it all. Yes, looking to Jesus, if it's well, how encouraging just to pause and worship and stand in awe, reflecting on God's thoughts towards his people, thoughts so abundant, so wonderful, and so everlasting. May word and sacrament today bless us then, this worship service, that we leave here this morning testifying with David, with heart and lips sincere. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my thoughts, Old King James, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, how encouraging and strengthening so also to come to the Lord's Supper in remembrance and reliance and celebration of Christ, the Savior of sinners. Won't all God's people testify? Really, that's the greatest reason this summer yet, to pause and stand in awe and to have countless reasons for ongoing admiration of him, our Savior God.